Hello, and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is exciting because this is the first one we're recording since we've released some.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's nice.
Here we go. And do we say our names on this? I don't remember. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
No guest today. We are doing The Trust.
Right, from last year.
From last year. Because this is going to release in 2018.
From 2016.
I saw this movie at South by Southwest. So we are watching DVD today. Mike, if you want to start it up.
All right, and I'm going to hit play. 3, 2, 1. All right, I haven't seen this since we reviewed it.
Had you seen it before or no?
No,
so you've only seen this once.
So yeah, I'd only seen it once.
I feel like this is a fitting movie. This is honestly not the reason I picked this movie. I picked it because it's short and nobody signed up for it. But I feel like it's a fitting movie to watch this week as I have been heading down to Fantastic Fest.
Oh yeah.
Because Elijah Wood is always at Fantastic Fest.
Oh, cool.
Do we have subtitles on?
Subtitles are on. We have our bingo cards.
Wonderful. Oh yeah, bingo cards. You go to cageclub.me, go to the page for this or any other revisited episode, and you'll be able to
download the card,
which also has instructions in the second tab in Excel. So not only do you get the card, but you also know what to do with the card.
We should add a card spot for how many opening logos there are for companies that help produce.
Oh, like a Turbo Kid, like a 15 thing in the beginning?
Yeah, like if there's like an A24 or like whatever pops up. Because I think we just saw 3 of them or 4 of them. So Vegas right off the bat.
We should also add one for Saturn Films. Just like in general.
Oh
like
yeah, if Kate
Saturn.
Produced it.
I'm gonna write this down. So Saturn number.
Let's see, this is Highland Films, Hassle-Free Productions, in association with Ingenious, Saban, Electric Shot. I couldn't even read the fourth one; it went so fast.
You got to chuck off. You got Las Vegas on your
Vegas,
card.
Vegas, Free Spot. So this opens.
Okay, just top build in the credits. I have that.
Okay, this opens with a rarity. As we zoom into the... I really like the music in this, too. But there's Elijah. But the opening is someone... It opens with someone just having sex.
Oh, awkward sex scene. I'm going to cross this off, right? This is definitely
awkward.
Yep. So, awkward sex scene for sure.
Let's see. Now I got to catch up. Do I have any nudity? Right off the bat, this is a big...
just staring at the mole under her breast. Let's see here. What else could I...
There's Kate's mustache.
Ooh.
We might have to condense this somehow, because I feel like we have too many options.
That's the good thing, though, I think, because we don't want to have every game be the same. We want to eventually have... Like, if we could have 200 worthwhile things...
Yeah, I guess you're right. The more, the better. Because I just remember last time we recorded with Zach, like, we won, like... right away, one of the movies we watched.
I think that's just luck, though, because whether we have 25 or 200, it's going to be luck. I think I'm also going to add drugs and or smoking.
Well, smoking, yeah. I mean...
Because Elijah right here smoking weed.
Dog eat dog. I just recently, like, how much he smoked in Snowden. Remember that?
Yeah. So I have a category... I have a box in my bingo card, Elvis or the Beatles, which... this is a movie
what?
In... It's a movie in Las Vegas, but I don't remember if... it happens or not, so I will...
You know who is in this I'm looking forward to seeing?
Jerry Lewis?
Yeah, plays
the late Jerry Lewis.
Cage's dad.
Someone returns from another Cage film. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Was Jerry Lewis in another movie? No, it was just this one, right?
No, I think it's just this one.
And Elijah was in another one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to cross that box off. Overt sexism. Was the exploitation of that woman overt sexism? Or is this overt sexism perpetrated by a character? Is that what we're looking for?
I think so. Maybe by Cage.
Okay.
I think you know,
nudity. Like, I got nudity in here.
So like crazy eyes. Like it has to be Cage's crazy eyes. You know, like.
Well, if it says Cage crazy eyes, yes. If it just says crazy eyes, it could be anybody doing crazy eyes.
Oh, okay. All right. I can't believe I don't have mustache.
Is mustache even a category?
Oh my gosh! If it's not,
I'll check it.
He looks awesome in this movie. Just he's so confident in this one. I think we talked about how last year most of the movies he was in, like. He really seemed to be having fun in them. As opposed to this year, he sort of doesn't really have as much, like, a fun presence.
But. Yeah, which is a shame. So this is a movie I think I talked about when we did the episode for, but I saw this at South By. Elijah was there with the producers. I think Cage was supposed to be there, but he got sick or something.
Mm-hmm.
The producers, the directors. But that was also the day that I met Dominic Monaghan, a.k.a. Charlie from Lost, in real life, because he and Elijah are buddies. Exactly. So he went to go visit his, or go watch his buddy's film, and that's cool. I'm just, like, I don't want him to be sexist, but I want him to be sexist for this, for my bingo card. You know
bingo.
What I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah. Like, I hear ya. I see a couple on mine that are coming up. I'm anxious to cross off. I just hope I remember to look when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing you gotta look out for. Don't remember much of this.
There's the guy in the closet I remember coming up. That they just looked at. Which, depending if you're watching this as we're doing this, and if you started playing the movie a few seconds early, you would have been like, yeah, you're looking at the closet. Like, of course you know somebody's in the closet, but I remember. My memory's like a steel trap with these Cage movies. Not really.
Well, if I recall, like, the only problem with this is sort of the central plot. Like, the characters were good. I feel like it's well-directed.
Performance
and
it is good.
Like performances are good. It just sort of lacked I think, like I was saying, like, it lacked an extra twist when we recorded it. Like, when they get in the vault, which we'll get to.
Elijah's still high. A little high.
And he's doing forensics? It's like CSI?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a role not too far unlike the role we just saw, Vengeance is a Love Story. I mean, we got a lot of Cop Cage recently.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like once you get into that, like, 50-year-old range, there's a lot of cop roles you can play, mm-hmm. whether you're a detective or a police chief or a...
Lieutenant, right, commissioner, I mean...
Ooh, I want to see... So we were...
The guy in the background there.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I want? So on Nerd on Nerd, which we just recorded as we're recording this, but as you're listening to this, came out a few months ago, Joe Two and I from Zack Attack, and now the newly released Boyfriend Material and Magic Mike's and Too Fast, Too Forever, we were talking about, they played a game on there, which movie would you want to see Zac Efron cast in? Did you get to that part of the podcast when you're listening?
No.
And they said, which one would it make the movie the worst? Like the if you add him in a role, would it make the movie way worse?
Mm-hmm.
And which one would it be way better? And I said, genuinely, I want to see him as Robin in a Batman movie.
Ooh.
I want to see Cage as Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, he'd be a great Commissioner Gordon. Absolutely.
If we're casting... So remember when we were talking a while ago about... programming a Cage Club Podcast Network marathon, like one from each movie, or one from each actor, one from each podcast. If we were casting a Batman movie with just the lead actors from our podcasts,
okay.
Hoffman would have to be the Penguin, right? It would be the Penguin's the bad
guy. Check this out. Keanu as the Joker.
Oh. I like that.
Yeah, I think that he would go a long way with it.
So in the Lego Batman movies, Channing is Superman, right?
Yeah, and Galifianakis does a great Joker in that movie.
I'm excited to watch those again for Magic Mike's. We're not getting those
but
for
who
a
else
long
do we
time,
have?
Though.
So, okay, and then Cage is Gordon. Shia.
Shia would also be a good Robin. But
Superboy.
Well, I think we can't go too big. We need to keep it to a central Batman theme.
Okay, let's
bigger.
Keep it in Gotham City then, so...
I
could see him playing something like the Scarecrow or the Riddler or someone crazy, but...
Oh, you know what? I mean, it's not a podcast that happens. It's a podcast that almost happened. But when Kara and Jordan were going to do one for her and one for her,
yeah.
I was going to go back and forth basically between Wistful Thinking and Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra as Catwoman.
That would be cool. Sandra as Batgirl, maybe.
Is she young enough to play Batgirl?
No, yeah, you're right. Maybe, yeah.
I don't know if she's young enough to be Catwoman, but yeah. But who would be
I think, yeah, there's more range in playing Catwoman, whereas Batgirl's mostly depicted as being a little younger.
So we got Cage as
who do we have?
Commissioner Gordon.
Are we including newly released podcasts?
Yes.
Okay, so...
So we got Keanu as, did you say, the Joker?
Yeah.
We've got Zeff as Robin. We've got Philip Seymour Hoffman...
As Penguin.
As Penguin. We have soundtrack by Now and Again. It's all now that's what they call music soundtrack.
Yeah, we just rip it from, right.
So the Wistful Thinking.
There's Jerry. Oh. Hello, son.
R.I.P. Rest in power. We have Sandra Bullock representing Wistful Thinking as Catwoman.
Mm.
We have Ryan Gosling, Channing Tatum, and Cars from Fast and the Furious.
The Cars have to be the Batmobile.
That's cool. It's a Subaru Impreza.
But
so
it's
who's
tough because
so who's a better Batman is the question.
Okay, so
Tatum
Gosling as do you know Nightwing, the grown
sure.
up? So I think Gosling is because he's smarmy,
yeah.
but he's got all the Batman like.
So that makes Channing Tatum Batman, which is fine.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's not the best. He's a better Superman, I think.
Yeah, but he's got more of the. I feel like he could do brooding better. Like, I don't buy Gosling brooding yet. I haven't seen him really brood much. Maybe just the one where he has the sex doll. What was that? Lars and the Real Girl?
Yeah.
Which he's great in, but I feel like he could really do Nightwing. Oh, man, defecation on the kitchen floor. Not even his dog respects him.
No one respects Elijah. Elijah doesn't even respect Elijah in this movie. Now I really want to see this Batman movie. Why can't we make this Batman movie, aside from the fact that our penguin is a dead person?
They used to do this thing in this magazine called Wizard Magazine, which you used to get at comic shops in, like, the 90s. It's defunct, and I think it's online now, but they used to do Dreamcasts like that, like, who would play the X-Men, and yep. who would play the Batman movie. And I remember Patrick Stewart, even in, like, 1991, was a Dreamcast for Professor X.
Oh, wow.
So it was, like, amazing when it finally happened. Everyone wondered if they...
If
casting directors
yeah.
like look through old issues or something.
Well, that's really cool.
Do we have these guys have good rapport? I'd like to see him do something else again.
Cage is drinking. He's not eating though, so I can't cross off Cage
yeah.
eating.
And they're not. I don't know if they gamble in this one, which is so frustrating because they spend so much time in the casinos.
So we basically have a shot up a waitress's skirt, and there's no overt sexism yet. So I'm still waiting.
It's tough because, I mean, and I'm going to sound overtly sexist, but it's Vegas. So, like, it's hard when...
We just saw Ocean's 13,
legal
right?
prostitution.
Yeah,
and
it's
like
models who serve.
Yeah, right.
Cage. We're getting close to an overreaction.
I'm glad we're watching this one, because we just watched Vengeance, a Love Story recently, and
yep.
that was a new Cage that wasn't that great, and this is a newish Cage that's better.
Way better.
It's way better. And better in retrospect, after having seen a couple after this. Army of One, is that it? Or
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's the best one he's done recently.
Yep. And I also love Inconceivable, obviously.
Oh, right, but for... different reasons.
Is that overt sexism? No, there's not being
overt. What was the call there?
He's like, I think that guy's getting a hand job.
Why is he putting Tabasco on the lemon?
Oh, Cage eating. Here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't. He passed it to Elijah.
That's got
to
be his thing. Like,
oh, no, Cage
there
eating.
There he goes. I'm sure that was his thing. Like, how can we spice up the scene a little bit? What can I do? What can I bring to this? Has anyone ever done before? Because it reminds me of, like, Travis Bickle putting cheese on his apple pie in Taxi Driver. Have you ever seen Taxi Driver?
Yeah, but that's the thing that people do, and I don't know... I don't know if they got it from that, or if, you know...
I thought... Because, like, I remember ordering that at a diner after seeing Taxi Driver in high school, thinking I was, like, cool and stuff, and thinking it was a real thing. And the people at the diner looked at me sideways, like, what? Like, we'll do it for you, but I don't know if that's a real thing.
I've heard it before. And
okay.
I don't think it was just from Taxi Driver. Like, people
do
it.
Oh, okay. Because I thought it was, like, to sort of illustrate how out of touch he is. Like, he puts the cheese on the pie, and then you see, like, Jodie Foster puts all, like, the sugar and the jam on the bread. Like, the eating habits in that movie are very strange.
It also probably is that, too. I don't think it's just, like, because it's not a necessarily normal thing. Is that an overreaction? That's probably an appropriate reaction.
A tough one with the subtitles is, well, is Cage stuttering or hesitating? Like, it's going to be a tough one.
That is a tough. I think it's just generally a tough one. I think that one's specifically designed for Matchstick Man.
Piss! Blood! Cage had to have been driving already at some point. What's going on?
When he sprayed the binaca the wrong way first,
yeah.
and then he sprayed it in his mouth. Just such little attention to detail in this. That's just wonderful.
Do you think, like, he's so, like... present in this film because he lived in Vegas and he just had to, like, wake up and, like, he was basically at work and he didn't have to travel. It's like, I hear about, like, Adam Sandler making movies where he wants to go on vacation. I think that's why they turn out so bad, but, you know, B, I think that's why he makes so many movies, is because he's just in a very comfortable location and situation. And so, like, because I got the same... I don't know if he was living in Vegas during Next, but in that movie, too. Maybe he just loves Vegas and loves the energy and feeds off it.
I think, if I remember right, he liked the script and stuff, but I'm sure the fact that he could wake up and just be at work is a nice benefit, a nice little perk.
It's so funny, because I was listening back to a little of this review, as I do from time to time. Sometimes I just drop the needle on one of our old episodes.
Ooh.
And I couldn't, like, I was talking about how I liked Elijah Wood and stuff and everything, but, like, I couldn't remember him as Frodo.
Okay.
Like, I think I heard myself, like, straining to refer to him as someone famous that he played, like, one of his more famous roles, and I didn't go to Frodo. I was very surprised about that.
I think of him as the guy from Wilfred.
Oh, okay.
Not Wilfred, because Wilfred's
the
dog.
He's the dog.
What else do I think of Elijah Wood as? The guy from Fantastic Fest.
I remember when I was younger, because we're, like, the same age, like, seeing him on, like, The Tonight Show, and he was always in movies, like, The Good... He was in more serious stuff as a kid, like, The Good Son, and...
Oh, so he's just like Adam Scott, serious actor turned to comedic actor.
Yeah. He was in that, yeah, The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin. That's a crazy, like, child thriller.
Okay.
Where Macaulay Culkin's, like, the bad son, and, like... So he's in. He was in something with Mel Gibson where they found him frozen, like, in a warehouse, and he was, like, from the 40s or something. It was cool.
Elijah Wood was frozen from the 40s?
No. Mel Gibson.
Oh,
was.
Mel Gibson was frozen from the 40s. So he's even more racist.
They thaw him out, and he finds his, like, long-lost love, and they hide him in a treehouse, and he starts to, like, age quickly.
Huh. That's close to an overreaction by Elijah freaking out, but I'm not going to cross it off.
Cage is in a car, but he's not driving. Elijah gradually gets, like, his freak out escalates by the end of this film, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's constantly freaking out, but it's more and more...
That's my favorite little moment in the movie, I think. When he just stops the car with his hand. Just so... Like, I don't even know if there's a car there. He might have just done that, you know
and
what I mean?
And they added, like, it in, like, the sound effects in post.
What is he doing? Oh, I know what he's doing. Okay. I get it. We didn't see an airplane, did we?
No.
Like, we're in Vegas, and it's in a flight pattern,
it's
obviously.
It's so close to everything, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's what, man, like, when you're in Vegas, that's what's so great about the airport. It's, like, 20 minutes from everything. So, like,
yep.
You don't waste any time getting to your hotel.
So, I have in a single column on this bingo sheet, extreme facial expression, overreaction, and crazy eyes. So, if somebody really is a freak out, that's three-fifths of a bingo right there. You know what I mean?
I can't wait till Cage stands on something weird. if I recall, they're singing. See, that's another thing I get thrown. Like, if there's...
That's almost singing.
Wait, is that accentuating an oddly specific word?
Sure.
He does it at the end, too, but all right, cool. What's the code?
Because we're all winners.
It's a nice little aerial shot.
Airplane?
No. Likely a drone, though.
Probably a drone.
This is interesting. I feel like you could do a whole movie about the evidence warehouse locker.
That's Donkey Breath or whatever from...
No, that's the guy from Earl. That's Earl's brother. My Name is Earl.
That's not the guy from Salute Your Shorts?
No. This is the guy from, like, American History X and all the Kevin Smith movies. He's in Mallrats. He's staring at the magic eye. Ethan Embry or... No, not Ethan Embry. Something like that, though. But like I was saying, I could watch a movie about, like, this place, seeing all the stuff that comes in and out, and...
Right.
Him playing Russian roulette. It's... Hey, wait a second. This guy was also on Twin Peaks The Return, which took place in Vegas. He was like Dougie Jones' one friend eating the hot dog. Walked up to him.
But, I mean, everybody was in...
Told him where he lived. The house with the red door?
Red door.
You're right, everyone was in there.
Douglas Jones.
Ernie Hudson was probably the one actor I really was... wanted to see back more than anyone else that never returned except for his
man, this is so good. I just love it. I love him walking confidently with towels.
Oh, he's in disguise. Do we have in disguise in here?
I don't either,
but it should be on the list somewhere.
So did he actually get a job here?
Here
or is he
go.
Just like...
No, he's in disguise. He's on the cover.
Man,
here goes
so
his
good.
Jerry Lewis when he fumbles this thing. He's gonna... That's like as much as we really get, but a little of this sneaking around.
This is very, very good.
That suit reminds me of the one he wears in Valley Girl, where he's at the usher at the movie theater.
Oh, with the 3D glasses?
Yeah.
Valley Girl was on TV the other day, and I was at my friend's house, and we were, like, watching the beginning. I was like, just wait, Kane shows up. And, like, I forgot that he doesn't show up for, like, a while, because...
Mm-hmm. Like, 15 minutes.
Because, yeah, even if he's just
that's
so
amazing.
Good. Because even when he's old Charlie Bodell, he, like, stumbles in late, and then he, you know, he is young or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider that Cage working out? He's boxing, shadow boxing?
I love it, though, how he's bonding with the, you know, the other waiters and everything, and he's undercover. Like, he's really getting into it. Not that truck.
Yes, yes.
This is also really good storytelling in terms of, you know what I mean? Like, there's mm-hmm. no words, it's just...
Montage-wise, right.
Yeah.
He's showing everything.
Like, it's progressing the story, and it's also funny.
It's extending his character, you know? Like, look at how serious, you know, when he realizes that there's something up, he quits the joking around.
Yep.
Stake out.
Because he's very good at what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, they almost pull it off. Like... It's not his fault. His only problem was trusting Elijah Wood to, you know, not to grow a backbone.
Right.
Like, he picked the perfect person, you know, just someone with no spine, and then at the 11th hour.
Betrayed in the end.
Is this a dramatic tonal shift? We just went from sort of joking around in the montage.
I'll give it to you.
Like, okay. Nice.
I'll give it to you unless it wins you a column.
No, no, it hasn't. I'm actually not that close.
I've got two in a few different ways, but I don't have anywhere with three yet. I know I'll get there eventually, but I'm not there yet. I'm going to add montage to the list.
Is that when... I mean, I wonder if we should establish a rule, sort of like, if you missed it, it's too bad. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like Ethan Embry threatens Elijah Wood in that scene, and I forgot to mark off if someone makes a threat, but I'm sure he gets threatened again.
Yeah, I think it's a verbal acknowledgement. You have to point it out in the moment as it's happening.
Yes. The best response. Jimmy is
your friend. I like that he's going to give a... He doesn't even, you know, merit Elijah with a name. I just, like, how is he playing that? Is he, like, forgetful
sort
or just, like, a
yeah.
jerk or, like...
I think it's, like, sort of like a jerk who's, like, starting to sort of forget stuff, like Alzheimer's-ish.
I get it.
But that is totally the best response to seeing Elijah Wood at your front door. Just, like,
Jesus Christ. Does Cage have a tattoo in this movie, or no?
I've been looking, but he's got long sleeves on. I don't think they shot this in the summer.
Vegas does get really cold. And also really hot. This is the weather report.
No, but it is kind of, you know, if you are going to go to Vegas, just take a jacket at night, because it gets colder than you'd expect, quicker than you'd want. Cage outsourcing his spy work to homeless people. Elijah's cool with that. Cage got some good facial expressions going.
Is it extreme, though, or not yet?
Well, it was kind of like... It seems kind of extreme.
I missed it, though. I wasn't looking. I was looking at my phone. All right. I don't like a gender-flopped Elijah
God.
As Nancy Drew.
There's nudity, but it was male nudity. Why did he... Why?
Oh,
is that like a prank?
He gave the camera to a guy, wasn't it? And, like, the guy
took right,
the
homeless man. So he took a picture of his own wang.
Got my it. Wang.
Yeah, that's why I used wang. Red Apple?
A little is Tarantino
that,
reference?
Yeah, is that sort of like a director's Easter egg?
Maybe.
I'll allow it because, you know, it's so minor and it wouldn't mean anything. Like, what I don't like is when they sort of, like, if it was like a billboard or something for Red Apple cigarettes.
I like that, you know, Elijah was just, like, basically shitting his pants. He was so nervous this woman was going to, like, get mad at him. He's like, I'll give you $100. She's like, all right. And there we go. Just like that, he's in. What is Cage saying wipe it to? Oh.
Oh, they, what are they, erasing camera footage? Oh, no, they're trying to, like, ID somebody.
Talk about food. It's such a, like, it's a weird little movie too, mm-hmm. You know, like, it feels real.
It just, you know, like, I love the music. I just wish there was some more music going on here at times. It just gets a little too quiet.
Like score? Or
yeah,
like,
or like score, or like, I'm not saying it needs to be wall-to-wall like Ocean's movies, but like, they do bring in that type of music, that sort of like jazzy funk breakbeat stuff. I just wish they laced it in a little more, maybe with like some sinister tones. And
you know what I wish they had? One song by Elvis or the Beatles. Then I would get another checkbox. I don't think it's going to happen.
I mean, it's amazing when you're in Vegas and you don't see Elvis. It's just like
right?
The most perplexing thing in the world.
I just watched that clip again of Bruno Mars' Little Elvis.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And we were talking on the Zach Tech Clip Show about Tiny Elvis, because Zach hosted one episode of SNL and just had nothing to do. But I was like, you know, Cage had, like, characters. Like, he played Tiny
yeah.
Elvis, and he played his character from Moonstruck again, and
what's crazy about Tiny Elvis is Rob Schneider played him after Cage was, like, on another episode. Like, they continued.
Which is very weird.
That bit. Yeah, they only did once or twice more, but I don't think that's ever been done before. Like, that a guest established a character that went on to have multiple skits as someone else playing him. Cage has to go back on SNL.
I mean, why would... But why would they want him? You know what I mean? Like,
because, well, if they're smart, they'd want him because of his, like, internet following, because of his, you know...
Right, like, I would watch, and I don't normally watch.
Yeah, like, there's... so much time has changed now. I mean, think of the digital short they could make with him. I mean, especially if, like, the Lonely Island guys were still there, they could have really knocked it out the park with him.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if he popped up in Laser Cats or something. Like, that would have. They got Spielberg to be in a Laser Cat episode for
yeah.
crying out loud.
So. I mean, Tom Hanks is David S. Pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get him. I just don't know why. Like, it feels like I don't know.
Wait, bad accent here?
Sure. I like it. He's being sneaky.
Should we add subtitles to the list?
I feel like it doesn't happen enough. We could.
Okay.
I will. Sure, why not?
Sometimes that's, like, the game, right? If it doesn't happen a lot, then you pulled, maybe you didn't pull the best card.
Sure. It's all just done through random.org, so... I gotta update our list, and I gotta upload the file and replace the master. And then you, listener, dear sweet listener, even, actually, we haven't gotten to the episodes, releasing the episodes that have the bingo card, so all this that you're hearing here on the 12th
right.
Cage Club Revisited is retrofitted back into the first episode of the bingo cards.
Okay, so maybe...
which is good.
Okay, so yeah, because they'll have all of these things. As we're pointing
making,
them out, they can look down.
We're making
down.
Things better.
Very cool.
Very, very cool.
Very cool.
Let's see here.
Oh, I like it. He's got
the suntan lotion.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like the little moments in this because they get it all right. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe because we are not really listening, that we're talking over it, but it feels like it's slow-ish. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of build-up.
I remember that being an issue when we were recording the episode. Yeah. That it just lacked a certain kick.
That's a nice little moment where Elijah does this whole thing in tape, and then the bee attacks him, and just like it's all screwed up, that he doesn't fix it. It's, yeah, I mean...
You know what? This might have needed a third person in on it. You know, like, halfway through the movie, someone finds out what they're doing, and, like, maybe the prostitute or something comes back that's, you know, hanging around too much. I don't know, but it does... It just feels like maybe one more extra element needed to be involved somehow. And you know what else is, like, usually in kind of heist or caper things, you see a lot of the people they're stealing from, and we really don't know any of those people in this movie whatsoever.
Which I think is kind of like, I think that might help defend the fact that they're not really bad guys, that they're more so just normal bad guys, kind of, because like, if you know who they're stealing from, then they put a face to the crime, and they're like stealing from people as opposed to just this idea of getting stolen from, you know? Mm.
I think it also helps a little to show how inept they are. Like, they don't even bother to really
also that
dig too deep and
also that. So what else? What other?
What's up?
What other movies do we have between now and the time this comes out? We have, what other Cage movies are coming out this year? I know that we have a ton of them. I just don't know what's this year, what's next year.
The one that always sticks in my head is Mom and Dad.
We have Mom and Dad, obviously, which I'm going to see soon. Maybe Saturday night, I think. We also have... Is Mandy this year or is Mandy next year?
We are consulting
Cage
the
Club.
List.
The Humanity Bureau... Mom and Dad, Looking Glass, and Number 211, and also Between Worlds, are all scheduled for 2017. And for 2018, Mandy, Red Squad, Xander, and Primal.
Okay. Do we? All right. I don't know what like any of those are about, except for I think Primal. I heard about
Primal is snakes on a plane, but a zoo on a boat. Yeah, I mean, I put all the descriptions in that email that I sent Marco, which if you're listening to this, go listen to the episode where we interviewed Marco Kiris, if you haven't heard it yet. And I already forget what they're about. Like, it's a lot of it seems like revenge-based things.
Well, one of them was the Whatever Bureau one is like...
Humanity Bureau? That's sci-fi, isn't it?
Yeah, like he's smuggling a person over the border in a weird dystopian future or something.
Do you think that bureau is adjacent to the Adjustment Bureau?
Spoilers, but weren't the Adjustment Bureau supposed to be angels? Was that their
weren't
whole
they?
Baggage things? I never saw the whole movie, but I remember like reading about it and hearing about it when it came out. And yeah, the men with hats that could open doors anywhere.
That was a movie I liked enough to buy, and then once I owned, I was like, I don't need to watch this again. There's a lot of those on my shelf that I sort of need to deal with.
Forget about that one, Matt Damon.
Who's the girl? Is it Rebecca Hall?
No. The one from...
Emily Blunt?
Yeah. I was going to say the one from Edge of Tomorrow. Is that it? Edge with Tom Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow, Lift, I Repeat.
She's amazing in that movie.
Full Metal Bitch.
That's right.
I need to see that movie again. I think I've only seen that once in theaters, and I loved it.
Yeah, you know, I went with my dad toward the end of its run, and he's not, like, that into like stuff like that, but he really enjoyed it too. He because he likes Groundhog's Day, and that's like a Groundhog Day movie. Mm-hmm. But he's not a huge like alien invasion guy, but he liked the groundhog aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys should watch Before I Fall Together with my girl Zoe Dutch, which is basically like a coming of age drama.
Well, I won't have taken him to Happy Death Day if you've heard about that.
I know about Happy Death Day. Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna see that.
Yeah, I'm not saying I won't be going, but I'm just not gonna take him. Like he didn't want to go with me to see Mother. He didn't want to go with me to see It. He's
missed
just
out.
Not into horror.
Can we talk about Mother? Can we spoil Mother?
Dude, I would love to, but I mean, should we? Is the other, should we just wait until after we're done recording?
Well, I guess yeah. We are tonight. We are driving to the Alamo Drafthouse in Yonkers, New York, to see Fight Club on the big screen at 35mm. And really, I mean, like, it's cool to see a movie that I like on the big screen. The reason I'm going, though, is because I want that Slide t-shirt.
Well, I mean, do you want to just go pick up our shirts?
No.
Come back here and watch Fight Club?
No.
I'm joking, of course.
No. Slide.
Wait, so before that... Oh, yeah, so I do, but I do have, you know, a mother, not, I mean, it's not even a theory, it's just, you know.
Well, like, so, what's,
by reading.
What's weird about Mother, and this is being vague, is there's so much happening on screen that...
It should be 3 hours.
Well, it's not even that, like, your brain is able to pick up on some of the obvious, so I feel like, okay.
Yeah, there are definitely obvious things that...
Right? I just missed, because there's so much coming at you.
There was one early...
We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
But there was one early on that made me, really made me go, oh.
I feel like it's the kind of movie where if you hate it, you're going to pick up on all that because you're not into it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're going to be like, oh, now this. It's, like, I get it.
Because it can be very insulting to people, I feel. You know, it, we'll get into that, too, if you want. But, I feel like the people that don't like it are looking at themselves and seeing something they don't like.
That's possible. That's very possible. How long does it take to get to Yonkers from here?
Like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I think.
Okay.
40.
We got plenty of time. We got nothing but time.
Oh.
What?
Wow, nothing. I thought that this was, I thought we had an appearance by, a hip-hop star in this movie.
Do you have that on the card or no?
No, but it is a card marker, right?
It is a card marker, yep. Okay.
I thought that this guy was someone, but I'm thinking of the Keanu movie we watched.
Which movie was that?
When he was the... It was like the one when Joe 2 was on, and the girl didn't know she got raped by Keanu's partner.
Oh, with Ana de Armas from Knock Knock. It is...
She was good in it.
It's not the whole truth.
No, but it was the one like right after
Exposed.
That. Exposed, yeah. So there's a rapper in that was like awesome at acting and hadn't really been in much.
Yeah. Oh, double entendre, maybe. Sort of. Kind of. This reminds me of... Wait, does he kill him here or no?
If he doesn't, that's how the scene should end.
Because
I feel like
that's the guest. Spoilers for the guest, I'm sorry.
We need to see, though, him be lethal. Like... Oh, look how big daddy he looks here.
Super big daddy. Now, child...
Like, I just feel like if they had an extra couple $100, maybe they could have gotten, like, Tyree for that role.
There we go. I was also thinking while we were driving, and this, again, I don't know when I'm being racist or when I'm actually right, but it kind of looked like Michael Kenneth Williams.
Uh-huh.
Just in, like, he could play that, but it's also way too smart of a role for either of them, I think, you know?
I mean...
Because he's on screen for 2.5 minutes, and he gets killed.
True.
Spoilers for this movie. I also have... So we've released 4 episodes of this as of this recording.
Dude, this...
I haven't heard of anybody listening to these. I don't know if people are listening to these. If you are, email mailbag@cageclub.me and let us know.
And I wouldn't blame you if you don't want to hear these, but, you know...
I just want to keep that feed going, basically.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, we're going to have those real episodes, quote-unquote. But it's also like, you know, what... This isn't hurting anything, right? You know?
Yeah, and we're never going to do this for Keanu, so...
No, yeah, you don't have that to worry about.
Although, I guess we could, in theory, just do select movies. Because it's not like we like all Cage movies, although one of the first 6 or 7 we did was Amos and Andrew for some no good goddamn reason.
Or what I was also thinking was, like, maybe for Phase 2 of Keanu, which, isn't going to be for, like, a while till next year. Like, we do them like this. Like, we watch the movie together and talk about it as we're watching it and just do it for the length of the movie. But, I don't know.
Just wait, what do you mean Phase 2 for Keanu?
Yeah.
Like, new Keanu movies, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, instead of doing a real episode, do a commentary?
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there.
Interesting. We'll have to figure it out. I like doing the real episodes. Depends on the
movie. They're shorter, I'll tell you that.
They are shorter.
Right. I wouldn't want to have to, like, sit through the eating disorder movie again.
To the bone?
Yeah.
Although, this is also going to be the first episode that I went back and actually kind of edited. Like, I'm not going to edit out gaps because it's meant to play along with the movie, but I'm going to go back through and edit out, you know, if there's sniffles or if there's, like, sips of water or whatever.
Silent
so
stuff.
Because I did it for the We Are Your Friends Revisited episode that we did for Zack Attack, and I mean, it was like 1:40, and it probably took me, like, just over 2 hours to edit. Like, it's not, you know, it's basically one-to-one because you're just sort of listening, and if there's a weird noise, you take it out, but otherwise you leave it in.
Yeah, there's no trimming.
No trimming. No removing awkward statements like January Jones looks so cute when she brushes her teeth. Everything's just in there to stay. I also found, like, really, I think the key to a good commentary, especially for people who aren't listening to this while watching, is just to keep talking about literally anything.
Mm-hmm, right, yeah. Because it's weird when you're listening to ones on, like, official DVDs.
Right.
Like, I was listening to one recently, and sometimes there's just, like, long gaps of silence, and it's like, what happened in this part? Are they talking about something that they needed to edit out, or do they just have nothing to say?
That's a good question.
Like, why aren't they just talking about what they had for breakfast? Like, just keep that momentum up if you can.
Did we talk about, or did I mention it on a previous episode, Cage rolling up in a... Cage drives.
Oh, there we go. Cage is driving.
Is that it?
No, that's shaving.
Oh, I have that. I don't think it's going to happen.
There we go, driving. Oh, I'm getting a little closer.
Yeah, I have reached a standstill on my card. Did I talk about how Pete Holmes a while ago did commentaries on some of his favorite movies?
Like, no.
He did There Will Be Blood. He did... I don't remember. Let me see here.
I listened to the ones... Like, here's another thing I was going to say, too. Is like, I listened to some of the ones that the Red Letter Media guys do. Like, they've done select commentaries like Gremlins and The Thing and stuff. And they're good at it. There's always three of them, and there's really never a lull, because they do just talk about whatever. They go off topic and ramble on, and there goes Cage, kind of just jogging off.
There he goes, Cage running.
Oh,
is that working? Is that Cage works out? No.
No, I think we need to see him, like, pumping iron, lifting weights, or on the treadmill.
Yeah, You Made It Weird Movies is what he called it.
Huh.
Let me see what this is. He didn't do a lot, and they were all paid.
Okay.
I can't find it on here. You Made It Weird.
I like Pete Holmes. I haven't listened to much of his podcast, though, and haven't watched his television show, but I haven't seen his stand-up, and I do like that.
Okay, here we go.
What you know about green eggs and ham?
He did Drive with Patrick Walsh.
Okay.
He did Glengarry Glenn Ross with Joe DeRosa. He did
leads.
Almost Famous with Doug Benson.
I'm a Golden
Piazza God. Love Hoffman. He did American Psycho with Amir Blumenfeld. And I feel like There Will Be Blood. I don't know.
Paul F. Tompkins was on one of the first I was
on the first one. Yeah,
it was the very first one.
Yep.
Yeah, talking about that experience. It seems like so bizarre. Like, I would have felt like it just didn't. I thought there would be much more, like, order or just be taken more serious, but it just seems so lax and, like, whatever, yeah, just stand there, we're gonna roll.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Pete Holmes and Paul F. Tompkins did There Will Be Blood. Pete and John Mulaney did The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Love that movie.
They sold them for, like, $2, and they were, you know, those are three-hour movies, so...
That's smart. You know, if you're gonna sell it, pack it. Like, they should do Che.
Oh,
you know, because it's 4.5 hours, and we just... recorded that episode the other day.
Yeah, like, I spent $10 on these, you know, I spent, like, $2 per thing, and I don't think I listened to any of them, just because they're tall, you know. You can always listen to it without watching, but I always meant to listen while watching, you know? Which, again, if you're listening to this, email mailbag@cageclub.me.
I tell you, like, I'd rather, not rather, but a lot of times when we're recording episodes and stuff, I have the movie on in the background, and I'm just sort of, like, flipping through it. Just,
I think Joe does that too. I don't usually.
I don't always, but
There's no magic mysticism in this movie, which is bad. I don't think Cage is grunted yet. No tattoos. He doesn't cry. There's no beach. There's no billiards or bowling.
I mean, people have been threatening people left and right, but I still haven't marked it off because I just, like, it's hard. It's sort of hard to hear.
Yeah, there's no peaches. There's no school. There's no flashback.
I forget, like...
No Cage shaves. I got a rough card for this movie.
I forget how clumsy Elijah Wood's character really comes across in this. Like, maybe he's doing more Jerry Lewis than Cage. I think maybe they're both doing a touch of it.
Oh.
Because he like, tripped earlier jumping over a fence. Like, he just tripped walking into here.
He got attacked
by the bee. He got, like, knocked over by the guy coming out of the closet.
I'm crossing off overreaction for killing these two people. You know.
Oh, yeah. And I also feel like, earlier when John Wick, the dude in the head. Anytime someone gets shot in the head, I just have, like, been referring to it as John Wicked. But when he wicked the guy earlier, that seemed like an overreaction.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think we're getting any peaches in this one.
Unfortunately. Is there overt... Let's see if there's overt sexism in the scene where they're manhandling a woman and putting her on the bed. Getting very creative with the bed placement in terms of...
Yeah, what were they doing there?
They're, like, tying her hands behind her back and putting it underneath the bed.
Oh, I see. They lifted the... That's why they were lifting the bed.
But, like, you would think that... I don't remember if she escapes from that, but, like, it seems escapable. You know what I mean? Like, a bed's not that heavy.
Dude, that's a pretty... Grizzly. Menacing looking disguise too, like the way that the goggles are sort of like bolted onto the ski mask.
I would agree with that. I wouldn't want to base that guy in a dark alley in Las Vegas or otherwise. We have no murder or death on here.
You know what I could have used a little bit of in this movie is just a montage of them being normal cops for a little bit. Like,
well, we have the opening scene, kind
yes,
of.
But another one or two of those could have gone a very long way. Seeing Cage pull someone over for, like, a traffic violation, I mean, I'm not even sure if that's what his
a la the beginning of The Wicker Man.
Yeah, well, hopefully with better results than
you dropped this animal.
Giant truck crashing into the car, exploding it on fire with the girls inside. Like, woof.
Is that an Elvis song?
No. I think that was Peter Gint, the Peter Wolf theme.
Oh, so I talked to Holly sort of recently. She said she's definitely down to do some of these, so she'll be on soon.
Nice.
She was just busy for a while, and she didn't know she could do them, but sort of I think life has calmed down a bit, so she'll be on. Cool. So when I think of Wicker Man, I think of Holly, because I think that was the first episode she was on. We're just like, oh, you're such a delight!
That was still, I think, like, top three episodes for me when we were recording.
What's in the bag? Shark or something? I saw on Twitter recently somebody put up a poll about The Wicker Man, and it said, what's in the bag? And one choice was a shark, and the second choice was, or something.
I'm still not sure if it's a shark.
I mean, it's not, but, like, the fact that he asks about it makes me think that maybe it is a shark, you know?
They just mess with him so bad, it's like, you know, you can't trust the word they say.
That movie's got overt sexism. Still waiting on it here. This is a really, really elaborate plan to rob these people. You know what I mean? Like,
but isn't this scene play so nice with a little bit of music over it?
It does.
And it's not even that, you know, breakbeat stuff I wanted. That is a crazy facial expression.
Gage laughs maniacally, crossing that off. That's extreme facial expression, you think?
We don't have
crazy eyes? That's closer
crazy
to crazy eyes. But if this is something, you know, sort of like the Ocean's movies, where, like, how much do they pay for the setup to then make money on a heist? You know what I mean? Like, I know you gotta spend money to make money, but, I mean, come on.
I feel like that's a fair comparison, because they're both these quirky Vegas heist things. This is like the anti-Ocean's in a lot of ways, but it's still trying to be... You know, like, hip and fun.
Well, like, how in the Ocean's movies, literally everything works out for literally everyone, and in this movie, everybody dies. Spoiler for the end of this movie. I also want to know, if you are listening to this, have you already listened to our regular episode of The Trust?
Oh, look, she's escaping, Joey. You were right. It's easily escapable.
It's not a great plan. They just wanted to be a little nicer to her, I think. But, I mean, come on.
They fucked the drill, right? The bit?
It was too hot. Because they were trying to get it from Germany, right? And that didn't happen or something? Or maybe they did, and maybe it just went through?
No, they ordered it.
What? I love how much Cage loves food in this movie. He's just super into it. He's so upset.
You could tell they changed the recipe.
And we're about halfway through this movie, too, so thanks, Cage. This is a pretty midway point. Cage Eats has got to be a category, right?
Oh, yeah. I have Cage Eating.
Oh, yeah, because we did the onion or the lemon-covered Tabasco.
The lemon-Tabasco thing.
Him eating was close to grunting. I'm not going to cross that off. Crying now. Man, there's some tough ones here. I've got a path to victory. If we get an airplane and a facial expression, or if he shaves, that's not going to happen.
He's got to stand on something weird and a musical instrument. Those are my two easiest wins, probably.
You have four? You have four, or you have just...
No, I have three.
Okay.
And those are my easiest two, because...
I've got three in two directions. I don't think we're going to get an Elvis or the Beatles, and I don't think he's going to shave.
Either.
So I don't think that's going to happen at the bottom. Who is this guy? Is he back from something?
No, but this is the guy that should have joined their plan. Wait, no, he is from stuff. I recognize him
as a
character.
Is he from a Cage
actor,
thing?
But I don't think he's been in Cage before. Because this is what happened. Was it Dog Eat Dog when they took on the fourth? What one was it when they were robbing a bank? Was that a Keanu movie? Oh, God, it was.
Oh, this is Stephen Williams. This is a guy, he's one of the guys who was X, or Deep Throat, in X-Files.
Oh, okay,
he's
cool.
One of them.
Cool.
He was
cool.
Also in It.
Yeah, the original...
No, what? The new It.
Oh, he's in the new It? Oh, he's the grandfather, I see. Yeah, I know. I recognize him from tons of stuff, but...
Leftovers. He's been in 129 things. His name is Stephen Williams. This guy's just real solid. I'm just looking back to see if he's been in anything Cage-related. 21 Jump Street, so we'll get to that.
Oh, that's Magic that, Mike's. Yeah. He was the... Ice Cube plays his role from 21 Jump Street. He's like the commander, whoever.
Let's see here. Scrolling back. X-Files, he played Mr. X for 14 episodes, yep. You know who else was Mr. X? Was, what's her name? Blonde from... Oh, Laurie Holden.
Huh.
From The Walking Dead and stuff. Like, I was like, I don't remember her being... She was also kind of one that, you know, was there so that Mulder could kind of fall in love with her.
Mm.
As he fell in love with everybody.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
It's impressive to me on some level. He was also in the original. He was in the TV show Jump Street. Did you know that? He was in 97 episodes of the TV show.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ice Cube revived his role for the movies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, but he was also in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, okay, because Johnny Depp's in that movie. Like, yeah, and...
Oh, he's also in Hill Street Blues for two episodes. I guess that... Was Jump Street
was a crossover?
Maybe.
Because Jump Street had a spinoff called Booker, because whoever was playing Booker, I don't remember his name, but he left and got his own show, like, after the first season.
No, yeah, he's not in any Cage movie. It is impressive to me that I can thumb through a guy's IMDb and see pretty quickly if they've been in a Cage movie or not. Like, I just sort of have all of them recognizable. And he's done, you know, 84 to date as we're recording this. So there's not just a few. Got to search from 81 to present.
Oh, so I'm sure, I mean, this is breaking news for us today about Cage, but I'm sure this is old news now. I just read that Croods 2 is back on.
Oh!
Because I don't know if you remember, they did a Netflix cartoon for
the
Croods.
So was it a prequel or something?
That was... I'm not sure what that was.
So nobody from the movie was involved?
No. Just the characters. Just the same characters. I don't know if it's a prequel or if it's a sequel, but...
We gotta get our Croods expert Brian Petronchak back.
Exactly. But and DreamWorks was quoted as saying the franchise is very much alive.
Because didn't when we recorded the Croods episode, which was, you know... 2 years ago at this point, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They said that it was going to be out, like, in 2020 or something. Like, it was, like...
No, it was supposed to come out in 2016 first. Or be Yeah, it was going to... That's why I think Brian signed on, because he's like, oh, I'll do both of these. They'll
okay.
be out, like, pretty quick. To Yeah, that was supposed to be out, I think, by now. And then now it just got greenlit or whatever they said.
I guess you just got to get Emma Stone back, right? Like, that's the big one.
Well, yeah, the money is basically what's... Unless Emma Stone's character isn't in it, but I don't know how they could do that, you know. Maybe they marry her off in the beginning. Because also Deadpool, you know, like, all these people...
Oh, right.
Like, there's really big stars.
Man,
if they were smart, they would turn it into a musical or something, you know. They need to, like...
Oh, man, I want Cajun musical so bad. You want him in a Western, I want him in a musical. How about we just put him in a musical Western?
Dude, I'm up for it. You know what they used to have, like, those... Like, in the 50s, where it would be, like, a pirate movie, but everyone would just, like, burst into song?
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum?
Like, they should do, like, a big, giant, Technicolor, crazy-ass, Music Man-style, like, singing... Well, they did Paint Your Wagon. You ever hear of that movie? It's, like, the singing Western. It's like
I've heard of it.
I've never seen it, but I've seen it been made fun of a lot. It would have been perfect for Cage.
You know what else I could see him doing is, oh god, I'm not gonna know the name of the episode. The episode of the Simpsons that Conan wrote, where they come in with the monorail.
Mm. Yeah, so that's the one based on the Music Man,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see Cage in that role though, either the Music Man or the monorail episode.
I recently rewatched this Jeff Goldblum movie called Pittsburgh, where he decides to join a very local, small local theater group in Pittsburgh that is putting on the Music Man, and he wants to play the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about him, like, kind of totally regretting it and yet going through with it at the same time. It's hilarious. You gotta check it out.
I'm gonna cross off extreme facial expression because Cage is about to sledgehammer this thing, and Elijah freaked out. I still need Airplane to win, though, so I don't know if that's gonna happen or not. Is that a grunt?
No, it's a woot.
All right.
I can't believe there's been no helicopter either.
I know. Well, we had the closest thing we had is that drone shot, which doesn't count for anything.
Nah.
Maybe
we should do something about, like, long hair, short hair. I mean, we don't have to put short hair, but maybe if we had, like, long hair or crazy hair. Or...
Cameron Poe?
Because he's got normal hair in this, I'd say. This is just Cage hair. But there are definitely movies where he's got nuts of hair. It's usually when it's longer.
We should almost do like a Cage movie score. Like, if he has normal hair, give him 1 point. If he has crazy hair, give 3 points.
That's another game we could play.
We've got to figure out, and this is an off-air discussion, what games we want to play for the podcast, which is now airing, which we've had two episodes. No, I'm sorry. It's a weekly podcast. It's not a monthly podcast. Hello. So we've had... maybe 6 episodes already come out by now?
I don't remember them spending this much time here.
Well, this is like the big thing, you know? So...
I just remember it coming at, like, kind of a later date. But, or at least not it lasting so long. But there's only about a half hour left, so...
We're getting there. I think for the podcast, I think we talked about a while ago, we could do a recast game where you could just recast all the main roles. But what else could we do is the question. Because even like the Zack Attack games that we have, we're not going to carry over to Boyfriend Material or Magic Mike's. I mean, we might bring over some, like, you know, like Mailbag and stuff, but, you know, Crying and Shirtless aren't going to. So a recast we could do. It's like, I just want to come up with fresh stuff. I was also talking to Wistful Thinking Ladies, and, we were talking about how I was saying how I think there could be a game in that, and so they might just take as you're listening to this, they might have already done it, but they might do MASH, which, remember, like the mansion, apartment, shack, house, where you like write down like 4 people you would marry, how many kids you would have, what kind of car you would have, what kind of job you'd have, how much money you'd make,
okay.
And then you like do the tally marks and you say stop, and then you cross off each one until whatever. Janet Varney does that on her podcast, The JV Club. But I was like, you know, for a podcast all about nostalgia, I was like, the games are the most fun part for me on Zack Attack. I'm like, I think you guys should have some games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think of other games like that. So there's MASH. There's also the game where you like do like the hand thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's too visual. It's not really podcasting,
right.
You know? I'm trying to think what else we could...
Or you could just yell out numbers because you do 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. Which I was actually thinking about. But, yeah, so, I mean, the games are really fun, especially when they have an episode or a movie or whatever that's kind of lame.
There was a good game on Monkey Club they did where it's describe the plot in like 12 words or less.
Oh yeah,
or something like maybe we could revive something like that.
Or we could do Apes versus Humans. Oh, I forgot about Monkey Lab. What role does a monkey play in our
Batman?
Yeah.
Well, there's a
now defunct Monkey Club.
Like, that's the thing. There's a couple like actual sentient gorillas and apes in the DC universe. Like, there's Detective Chimp, who's actually a great character despite the stupid name Detective Chimp. But he's like a Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
He's a chimp. There's Gorilla Grodd, who's like a psychic evil gorilla thing. But none of them really tussle with Batman. I'm trying to think. Could it be?
We didn't miss any. And then Cinemakers, I mean, I guess it's a Steven Soderbergh movie.
I guess he'll direct it.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's fine.
I'd love to see him do a Batman movie. I mean,
would you, though? I don't know.
It would.
With what tone?
Be light. It would totally be light. I feel like
Adam West light?
I don't think he'd go that far. Maybe. Like, it wouldn't be like Logan Lucky, you know? It couldn't... That's like 60s Batman, that movie. But I look at, like, Traffic and The Limey. You know, like, The Limey is like his Batman movie, maybe. You know, it's about, like, old Batman kicking ass, detecting.
Yeah. Birdman 4.
I remember saying on the podcast at one point, like, I wouldn't mind watching him do a Marvel movie. You know, I think he could just... like, whatever. Like, I feel like he could just do that, whatever, easy. It's nothing compared to...
Well, I feel like he can... What we've learned through doing 20 episodes so far, and by the time you listen to this, we're actually probably just about... Oh, no! The episode we recorded last night comes out February 5th, and this episode's going to come out January 18th. So, like, we're basically neck and neck, sort of.
Okay, cool.
We've learned so far through recording this that he can pretty much do anything. You know, like... Whatever he wants to do, even if it's not great, he's able to pull it off. In terms of, like, making a weird whatever kind of movie.
Yeah, even if we don't necessarily like it, it doesn't mean it's necessarily bad.
Cage freaking out a little bit, getting a little sweaty, getting real nervous. Very tense moment. What do you think about the music here?
Not enough.
It's also kind of subdued.
Yeah, it needs to be louder. And where was it earlier? Like, it's just... It's a little jarring when all of a sudden here comes, like, the theme or the score and for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I like it when now if we were at a tense moment and then this music kicked back in because of previous usage... Like, you could have easily used this music over Ethan Embry or whatever that guy's name, that when he was doing the Russian roulette joke. He's jumpy.
Well, he's about to... I mean, like, they're gonna... We could lose everything. I don't think I'm gonna get many more of these, if any of these.
I'm holding out hope for... Cage stands on something weird.
Yep.
A helicopter.
I need an airplane to win. I think
someone making a threat.
I could probably get Cage's exasperated slash a broken man. I feel like that could come soon. It hasn't yet, though.
It will.
Very tense. I also feel like... I feel like what's also weird... This is another sort of dramatic tonal shift. You know what I mean? Like, as this sort of eases in, like... It was pretty lighthearted for a while, and now we're kind of serious from here on out.
Yeah, it ends heavy, for sure.
Yep.
Like, he's going nuts right now. He's going to explode very soon.
But man, oh man, if things went well, they would have so many millions of dollars in diamonds. So much money. I do wish there were more bank robbery movies where they got away with it. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's why Ocean's 11 is fun. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, Danny goes to jail, but he goes to jail for violating his parole. Like, he's going to jail for robbing $170 million.
What was, what's the one I'm... there's one with Jason Statham that's pretty good.
The Italian Job?
No. That's the one. That's the remake one, right, with Ed Norton?
Yeah.
I just watched that recently. I really didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, especially when Seth Green keeps referring to himself as Napster, and they had the whole Napster thing running through it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Brother. What about, is it like Parker? Not Parker. The Mechanic? Not The Mechanic. Stealing a bank robbery movie?
Yeah, in London.
Talking about Fast Five?
No. It's like in London, and they're stealing the Queen's letters or some picture or something.
The Declaration of Independence?
The Bank Job, it's called, I believe. It's just called The Bank Job.
Okay. Is that door closing on them?
I don't know.
Or is the camera moving?
No, I think the camera's moving. I think it's all moving a little bit. That's a really cool, like... those are all vault drawers, right?
Yep. Just touch one and it opens, and it's just endless possibilities of wealth. Imagine if you, like, if this was your bedroom and, like, this is where you kept your clothes.
Well, it's the future pods. Like, you just touch a thing and your bed pops out. You touch another one and your sink pops out. Touch something else and your clothes appear.
Look at all that countless wealth.
Yekpot.
And that's just, you know, one tray from one vault on one wall of this massive safe.
I don't recall it being so sort of
contemplative.
Right.
I feel like it's weird because we just don't know who they're stealing it from, you know. Which I guess ultimately doesn't matter because they're not going to get to enjoy it anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like,
I thought it was all stolen.
Is this a Terry Benedict joint?
No. I think it's something like, if I remember correctly, they're stealing from cops who stole this shit, or they're stealing from. This is all like stolen from evidence or something, right? I don't know. That's what I thought.
And all of it is transported in those laundry trucks?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's part of watching it with the subtitles on, talking over it, and only seeing it once before.
But it's fine. Now we're going to have Elijah's bout of humanity, right? Where he's caving to the pressures of this woman. Without his mask, like, come on, Elijah. Rookie move.
Gonna have to go now.
What an idiot. She's so upset because she knows what that means. Do we have... I got Cage cries. I don't have anybody else cries, so... Like, do you think that if Cage saw him doing this, he would kill the both of them right now?
No. He still needs Elijah.
Or he would kill her then?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just disappointing. I mean, I guess that's the whole thing, though, right? Because, like, you can have the perfect plan and sort of have the perfect mark and whatever, what have you. And then it's just a little bit of humanity or whatever. Any little moment, any little thing can just ruin it. Foil a perfect plan.
She seriously just wrote her number on his hand like that? Like, I have trouble writing numbers on my own hand.
What kind of... Oh, yeah, okay. Where do I have this movie on my Nicolas Cage ranked list on Letterboxd? The Trust...
Mm-hmm.
44.
I gotta start my rank lists on Letterboxd for Cage.
It's behind the National Treasure movies, behind World Trade Center, Croods, Outcast, Captain Corelli, The Boy in Blue, G-Force.
Outcast. It's better than Outcast now.
Yeah, I got him in Deadfalls above that. I'm going to move it up to 37. I'm going to move it up 7 slots. Ahead of The Boy in Blue, ahead of Captain Corelli, ahead of Outcast, The Croods, World Trade,
Sculling,
National Treasure.
I was telling my nephew about The Boy in Blue stuff, about how, like, sculling was the national pastime, and then baseball came and just stole all the thunder.
I was like, what are you
He's a huge baseball fan, and he's only, like, 8 years old, so I was like, well, you know, before there was baseball, there was competitive rowing. He just looked at me like, wow, I'm not surprised it's not popular anymore, and baseball is.
Yeah, but I gave this 3 stars. I'm going to bump it up to 3.5. I think I had it at, like, I would have given, like, 4, then it went down to 3, and I'm going to bring it back to 3.5, because there's a lot in here I really like.
What's with this arsenal introduced so late in the game?
Oh, arsenal?
Oh. Buddy.
I think it's more like they realize the kind of place that these people are living. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
They were sort of, like, guards. They're put there as, like, a front.
Yep. Add tags. Cage Club.
Huh?
Done. Safe. Oh, boy. It does feel like a long 91-minute movie. This was a lot of fun to watch in a theater, a crowded theater, because the comedy moments play better, the tense moments play a little bit better.
Mm.
It's just the lulls in between, especially when you're not paying 100% attention, when you're just instead babbling about whatever nonsense we've been talking about for the last 71 minutes, it sort of slows a lot of the other stuff down. So
sometimes it's hard when you have inherently funny or sort of stupid or inept characters getting this serious, you know, about, like, taking it this serious and this far. Sometimes it, like, throws the rhythm off for me.
Yeah.
Like, if they had kept it lighter here at the end somehow, like, if he killed the guy by accident, like, if it was more of a Marvin in the face situation or something like that.
I accidentally shot Marvin in the face.
You think God came down and stopped those bullets? I haven't seen that all the way through in a long time. I kind of stayed away from that movie for a couple of years to, because I just seen it so much. I saw it like 3 times in theaters.
Did you really?
Yeah. Vivid memories, because it's like, I don't know, it just seemed like we should remember seeing this in theaters.
Back, like, a couple of months before I moved back from Austin, the Draft House did a Tarantino month, and I saw a bunch of stuff in front of theaters. And I saw that in theaters, and I wish I never went to one of those quote-alongs, but I feel like that should have been the movie that I went to see a quote-along for, because
yeah,
just like the shout-out. And I was struck down with great vengeance and furious anger. Those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers, and you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my hand upon thee. But yeah, I saw that. I saw True Romance in theaters, which is a delight.
Mm. Yeah, that and, well, I didn't remember my friend, like, this is before I really knew who, because when Tarantino hit, like, I was in high school and he was new and everything, and my friend said he went to see Natural Born Killers on acid.
Okay.
I was like,
was he involved in that or no?
Yeah, well, it's from his screenplay. If you ever read the screenplay, it's pretty different.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of the same moments. It's just very, I don't know, I don't think he would have directed it like that insane.
Well, shit, man, I guess I'm just a natural born killer. That's the only line I remember from that movie.
Mal. I don't know why he does that. He, like, rolls up his sleeves when he says it.
To Robert Downey?
No,
Woody?
Woody Harrelson, when he's being interviewed. Robert Downey in that is just fucking amazing.
Did we ever have a name for a Robert Downey podcast?
No, downtime? I don't know.
Oh.
It could have been one, but
I do really like that name, Movies Are My Religion with John Brooks.
Yeah. I noticed he didn't reply to us at all about that.
No, he will, though, I think.
I know.
He'll probably just give a thumbs up.
Yeah, because even though Alien coming in, I don't like it, like, it's clearly not an Alien movie, and Ridley Scott's trying to work out, like all this religious stuff in his head. It's just like he's jumping around so much, whereas I feel Mother is much more of like a linear progression.
Yeah, Mother kind of beats you over the head with what it is, but, you know. Hey, man. Love it. Mother.
Do you want to bang heads for me? Just start singing Danzig hits.
Yeah.
From New Jersey. Oh, here we go. The freak out. It's a good one. I feel like this is the last good one that we've had from him, really.
You think?
Like, when he was hunting for OBL, OSB, Osama, OBL, yeah, OBL, yeah.
You were right.
When he was hunting for OBL, like, you know, he never got to that, like, anger point of freaking out. He was just a freak. Like, he'd go kayak shopping and be like, I want a kayak. And he'd be like, I want the biggest kayak.
I want to get Nicolas Cage to play me.
That was amazing. It's still amazing. Well, you want to play, so I don't know, Nicolas Cage? Here we go.
This is a cool shot, though, too.
Yeah, the red. And...
reminds me of Bangkok Dangerous.
That is... look at that. It's...
man, like, I know you're acting, but how are you not terrified in that role as Elijah Wood?
I think he's terrified.
Also, how much did you pay to have Cage in your face shouting at you?
This is the thing. I bet Elijah Wood was like, why don't you just take my salary and put it toward making the movie better, because I will work with this guy for free. I feel like it's something he just checked off his bucket list. Like, yes, I've always wanted to. Because wasn't he supposed to be, or he was rumored to be something in the Lord of the Rings? He was offered a role in Lord of the Rings, I believe.
Was it the Orlando Bloom role?
Early. No, but I think it might have been the guy who played Agent Smith, the elf elder,
okay,
maybe, or one of the royal humans or something. But I think it was the distance at the time. He didn't want to be away from his family for however long it took.
He also doesn't like being tied down to one place for years.
Yeah, and doing three movies with the same character, I think, like, that's a thing he doesn't like to do so much, is revisit the same person too much. I think that's why we haven't gotten a...
National Treasure 3?
Yeah.
Although I feel like it's been long enough now.
True. He would have a different spin on it.
I feel like it's not Cage holding up a National Treasure 3. I feel like it's Disney, like, let's not... he's not a bankable star.
Yeah.
Because the crowd for National Treasure 3 would not be the crowd for National Treasure 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be a lot more people who look like us and a lot less people who look like families.
Or maybe it's Dr. Abigail Chase. It's just like, I don't want to be portrayed that way in a movie like that again.
Just Riley. Just, you know...
oh, man. Can you imagine if they tried to revive the franchise with just Riley?
Having random sex and white girl.
With his red sports car.
It's his fleet of red sports cars.
Oh, something funny, because I was listening to you on the Geek on Geek podcast. And
Nerd on Nerd, excuse me.
Sorry. Nerd on Nerd podcast. And one of the guys got driving lessons for his birthday.
Right.
And he talked about how the steering wheel was on the American side.
Yeah.
So when they were shooting National Treasure 2, they shot it in London, and they had to import American cars for Riley to drive so that the steering wheel was on the right side.
That's funny. I feel like it's tough. Like, this morning when I was driving to work, they had one lane closed. It was like a two-lane road, you know, like a country road, and like they had one side closed, so they had cops on both sides, and they were like, you know, had the stop or the slow sign. And I have to drive on the left side of the road for like half a mile or a mile, and I was like, oh, this is so weird.
You're in London for a minute.
But I feel like it would be more normal to be on the right side. If you're driving on the left, you'd want to be on the right side. You want to be closer to the middle of the road, I think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Maybe not. I would imagine
just so
probably.
Used to it. I don't understand why there wasn't like a universal agreement at some point where the whole world got together and said, look... steering wheel goes here. You know?
Well, I'm listening to the Comedy Bang Bang tour, live tour from UK last year. I'm a year behind or whatever, but he's talking about how, like, only England and Australia, the only countries in the world, that you drive on the left side of the road. He's like, why don't you just change that? He's like, well, we also are the only people who don't use the metric system, so, like, why don't we change... You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Every country has its thing.
I guess that's what makes them their country. Sets them apart.
Hey, Keith, don't you want to hop on an airplane?
Yeah, really? Can't I just, like... If I heard a helicopter pass overhead, does that count?
I'm also surprised at how little overt sexism... I mean, aside from the fact that, like, she's kind of a damsel in distress or whatever. You know what I mean? But, like...
Here's his mistake.
I feel like they're treating her very... sort of kindly.
He actually lets her go, right? I mean, and that's his downfall.
Well, he shoots Cage. But yeah.
Downfall.
He trusts her.
That's his downfall.
Prequel Arsenal.
Look at that old-ass the TV they got there. Anytime I see a tube TV nowadays, and this was shot last year, so...
We've got four in our garage if you want any.
Oh, like that?
CRT. We're getting rid of them, yeah.
I have like two or three down in the basement from the old days. Is Cage Gets Shot a thing? Did we do?
I don't think so. Okay. Probably Cage Dies as one, but he doesn't die at this moment. He dies a little bit later.
Yeah.
Poor Cage. Anything I can cross off here? Cage, exactly. He's a broken man here. That's for
absolutely.
Sure. Cage, is he crying?
I think he's crying.
Man, he's not yet, I don't think. I'm not going to win because I still need overt sexism to cross that bingo off. And I really don't feel like we got overt sexism in this movie, so good for you. Don't got school, no peaches, no beach, no billiards, no bowling, no tattoo, no grunts. Yeah, we could get a grunt, but that's all going to help me win.
Yeah, I don't think I'm winning either. So.
How many of you have crossed off? I think you probably have more than me. I only have...
I have a four here.
I have a four. So not counting the free space.
I have nine.
Four, five, six. Okay, I have nine as well, so...
Uh-oh.
It's a real tie. It's a real terrible game of bingo.
Coming down to the wire here. It's a photo finish.
Elijah creeping up on Cage.
I'd like to see Elijah play like a good cop.
Well, have you watched Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency?
I've seen just the first episode where he's just, like, freaking out the whole episode.
Yeah, he's not a cop enough. He's kind of close-ish. He's cop adjacent, sort of. Some would say death is the ultimate workout. Should I cross off Cage Works Out? Oh, airplane tickets? No, I'm not going to count it. But, man, that might be the closest I get to winning.
Send me to airport jail? Still one of my favorite.
Is that Honeymoon in Vegas?
Yep.
That's what you get for waking up in Honeymoon in Vegas.
Is that from
Katy Perry? Katy Perry. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas is Katy Perry song.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Off her first album. Shut up and shake the glitter off your towel now.
That's what it's called?
Waking Up in Vegas is the song. It's off whatever her first album, the I Kissed a Girl album. I don't know if it was called I Kissed a Girl but the one with that and the one with You're So Gay, which is Katy Perry, what are you doing back then? And all those.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen.
You should be.
I know her. I know Roar.
So we had Elijah crying. That's not Cage crying.
You know, Katy Perry kind of... You know who could play her is the girl from Edge of Tomorrow.
Emily Blunt?
Yeah, she could play...
Katy Perry?
I think so.
Maybe.
I mean, they won't make that movie if they do for another 20 years anyway, probably, so they'd get to get...
What, a biopic?
Yeah.
Of Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Be weird. Now, Elijah, you're so dumb. All right. They're driving out to the middle of the desert. Airplane? No airplanes in sight.
I don't see anything.
You know that they're like, hold for airplane. Had to have happened.
But I feel like it's just part of Vegas is that there's just you constantly...
Yeah, you're in a flight path.
Yeah.
You are a destination. Like, yeah, I mean...
He's so dumb. Like, this just cements it, you know?
Yep. I'm not even watching the movie now, I'm just looking at the sky, like, give me an airplane.
Or a helicopter.
Would a helicopter give you the win?
No, but it would make me happy.
It would also break the tie in terms of 9-9.
Yeah. I just... oh, wait a second. Is they're going to run into Coop and Diane out there? Kind of looks like it.
Or Coop and not Laura?
Or whoever and whoever. Richard and...
Linda?
Yeah.
How far are you driving, really, Elijah? Like, where are you? Well, what's your plan here, bud?
It's like,
this is kind of the beach of the desert. That almost counts, but I'm... You see, the problem desert? Is I have a lot of things that Cage does. Like, I have five categories left that Cage does, and Cage is dead. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Some would say the desert is the ultimate beach without any water.
Yeah.
Just beach.
Elijah. Oh, Elijah. And they don't care. He's a cop. He's a crooked cop. He's a dirty cop. That's the number she wrote. She called. You burnt.
I mean...
I don't understand how you could trust a woman who was found in this apartment that has a closet full of guns. At least she's like, oh, no, I don't know.
Is this
like,
the trust that the title alludes to?
The titular trust?
Is this it? That he should not have trusted her? I don't recall him ever dying in anything before.
Elijah?
Yeah.
And this girl is fucked. But no, she's going to be fine.
Well, it is a little scary to be in a car with no one driving and a bag over your head.
Yeah, well, she'll take the bag off. Pull that e-brake. Tokyo Drift to something.
Yeah, exactly. Do some baby driver move.
Bell bottoms.
Was he slow?
No.
Oh, so close. I loved it. So close.
There you go, girl. You're a bad person, but the bad guys win because the good guys are actually bad guys.
Kind of a happy ending.
Is it?
No. For her, it is.
Sure. Nice little blood spatter on the seat.
Not overt sexism because she survives.
Yep. Damn it.
Unless they were being overtly sexist against Elijah Wood. No, I'm totally kidding. Here comes that good song again that should have been laced throughout the movie.
Is this Elvis and or the Beatles?
No. But it's a nice beat. That's a really
this
nice
beat. This is the Vegas. It's the Vegas song.
You know, totally like Terry Benedict going down.
And they are relegated. They're left to be nothing more than a box on a shelf in a warehouse of boxes. Nobody's going to check. So their life is amounted to.
Pretty much. But there are instruments, but no one's playing them. Hmm.
Does not count. I'm even going to take a model airplane of this plane. You know, like, is there a crime that had an airplane involved?
Why is there just a payphone there? That's pretty funny.
Evidence?
Yeah, I know it's evidence, but what could that crime have been?
Here's the drill. It's reminiscent of another thing that we talked about already, the X-Files. Also reminiscent sort of...
Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones.
Sure, Raiders.
The Raiders there.
A little bit of National Treasure, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Bit of a Cage connection there. And so, yeah, that was the trust.
All right. I wonder if there's a post-credit scene?
If only.
Wow, these are scrolling so slow.
Well, so the movie's an hour 31. We've been doing... Yeah, we got 4 minutes of these.
Whoa, come on, guys. You
could
have
just... Stone...
So the movie is really hour 27 minutes.
So when I saw this at South by Southwest, I filmed an 18-minute Q&A with the directors, and that's on our YouTube channel, which you can just search Cage Club on YouTube. I got to figure out a better way to export video more quickly because I want to get the podcast up on YouTube just because it's another place for you to sort of have them, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know.
Video files, man.
Because it's a complicated thing that you, the listener, don't need to know about. But if you know how to quickly export, basically all I need is a still image or a series of still images with audio. Trying to do it through Windows Movie Maker, not really working well, just taking too long. I don't think it's worth doing 2 hours. I guess I could just set it and forget it and sort of walk away.
I could try doing it on Adobe, so why don't I try it? Send me a file and some photos, and I'll line it all up, and I'll try it this weekend or something.
Everything's online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I'll just do a sample.
Hey, listener, if you made it this far, you can go to cagesclub.me/images, and we have pictures from the first 78 Cage movies. All the screenshots I took for the reviews that Mike and I used to write. Thank God we don't do the reviews anymore.
Oh, my
Holy
God.
Holy moly.
And you know what, though? It's nice that there's guys like Chris Caulfield writing new reviews.
Yeah.
Doing the Tower of Cage.
Tower of Nicolas Cage.
I'm going to do another end-of-year wrap-up like I did last year. That kind of worked out nice. Just did like a
I'm also excited
paragraph.
To do a best of. Remember we did like the one episode from each show that sort of best emphasizes what the show mm-hmm. was? Because now we've got like 9 shows. How many actually, huh? How many shows do we have? Let's see here. Drum roll, please. We have Cage Club. We have Keanu Club. We have P.S. Love Hoffman. Cinemakers. Now and Again. Wistful Thinking. Zack Attack. The Podcast is going to start on December 1st. All those movies didn't have anything this year, so that doesn't count. Monkey Love didn't have anything this year. That doesn't count. But we're also going to have Boyfriend Material. That's 9. Magic Mike's is 10. And Too Fast, Too Forever is 11. So those three are only going to have one episode out by that point, but we went from a year where we had like 4? What did we have last year? 4? Cage, Keanu, Zack, and Monkey, right?
Right.
Now and Again.
Oh, yeah.
We went from 5 to 11 in a year.
Damn. Wow. It's like multiplying like gremlins.
And then this year, we're going to have a new one from you. We're going to have a new one from Tobin.
That's right. Still growing.
I want more people. If you want a podcast, maybe we'll have Movies Are My Religion.
That'd be cool.
Listen, John Brooks, you're not listening. I know you're not listening because you have way better things to do.
He wouldn't have to host it. Like, you know, we would just have him on and then ask
Well,
him,
no, I like, don't want to be on it, but I would edit it. Well, I mean, I would be on sometimes.
I could just be on and just be like, okay, and then set him off because I just feel like you just have to sort of, like, nudge him and he'll
poke
go
the bear?
Off. What's that?
I just said poke the bear?
Yes.
Producers wish to thank Lucy Bell, Warman Pope, Atticus Warman Pope. Do you think those are, babies or animals? Lots of popes.
Possibly. I mean,
they're all lowercase, too.
Directors do thank their children in the...
These guys were young. These guys are real young. I don't think they have kids. I mean, they could have. But, you know, they're just people who love Nicolas Cage. They're smart people, is what I'm saying. So go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, @cageclubpod on Twitter, email mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know if you made it to the end here. We're going to keep doing these, even if you're not listening to them, just because it's an excuse to watch Cage movies and talk about it and hang out, but I'd like for people to be listening, so any last thoughts, Mike?
No, see you next time.
Bye!